Good health to all from Rexall. From New York, it's the Bill Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists.
This is your Rexall family druggist welcoming you for the 10,000 independent druggists who have made the word Rexall part of our own store name. You know us by the orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows, but our most important identification is that we carry the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. In millions of American homes, these products are household words. Like Plenamins, for example. Rexall's famous multivitamin capsules. Just two Plenamin capsules a day give you more than your daily minimum requirement of every vitamin for which such requirements have been established. Plus, valuable liver concentrate and iron. Quality like that is what we family druggists are talking about when we tell you you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Thursday was rehearsal day for the Rexall show. The cast was to meet at the NBC studios, and as we look back, we find Alice, Phil, and William standing in front of New York's famous Radio City, waiting for Frankie.
Well, where is Frankie? He's over an hour late.
Oh, that man is impossible. He's probably in some bar room.
Why, Hildegard. What a malicious display of tongue wagging. Remley happens to be attending a temperance meeting.
Now, what's Frankie doing at a temperance meeting?
He's picketing the joint.
Francis hasn't attended a single rehearsal since we've been in New York. Why do you let him get away with it?
Well, he told me he's a very busy man.
Busy doing what?
Well, he's teaching music at Columbia University. He's writing a concerto for muted bassoon. And he's helping the War Department perfect the new H-bomb.
Oh, he is a busy little bee. I'm sure the War Department couldn't get along without Frankie.
What would he know about a new bomb?
Willie, this isn't for publication, but Frankie not only knows about it, he is the bomb. Gee whiz. In the event of war, they fly Remley over enemy territory and he breathes on the cities.
Oh, now I see what they mean by H-bomb. The H is for hangover.
No, it is.
Yeah, this would be a fine country if the War Department had to depend on Francis.
All right, don't knock Frankie. He had a very important job during the last war. Didn't he, honey?
Yes. He was a model at the draft board.
A model at the draft board?
Yes. Anybody who came in and looked like Frankie was automatically rejected.
Why do you two always have to pick on Frankie?
Because he's always doing stupid things.
Just a minute. He ain't stupid. He just happens to have a few idiosyncrasies.
Well, I don't mind his stupidity. In fact, on him, it's becoming. I object to his selfishness. He thinks of nobody but himself, and he's always taking advantage of a situation.
That ain't so. It ain't so, because Frankie is very thoughtful. He's always thinking of others. Take this water shortage, for example. Since he's been in New York, he hasn't touched a drop of the stuff.
Seems to me he was that way in California, too.
Yeah, but here he's being civic-minded. The city says save water, and he's been saving it. Why, today he didn't bathe or shave on account of the shortage. He realizes that there are a lot of people in this city who need water and...
Hey, Bud, who are you buying your water from?
Frankie.
Oh, it's you, Curly.
Remley, what are you doing, running a black market on water?
That's a living. Besides, this ain't black market stuff. This water belongs to me. The city said save it, so I've been saving it ever since I got here. Got a whole bathroom full at the hotel.
All right, Remley, all right.
I'll sell it in fifths. Should I put you down for a case, Curly?
No, I don't want any.
If you prefer the imported stuff, I got a shipment coming in from Brooklyn.
Oh, Frankie, you and your wild schemes.
They're not wild. You people are just jealous because I'm a good businessman. I never miss an opportunity to make an honest dollar.
You mean like that shrewd idea you had on the train coming east? The one that almost got us arrested?
What'd he do, Phil?
Well, you remember when the train stopped in Albuquerque?
Yes.
Remley got off and was selling Pullman blankets to the Indians.
Well, maybe that wasn't such a good idea, but I got a deal cooking now, Curly, that I can let you in.
Hold it, Clyde. I ain't interested in none of your new deals.
Okay. But you're missing the opportunity of a lifetime. All it would cost you is $50 and you'll make millions.
I don't care how much I can... Millions, huh? Remley, I'm going to take one more listen. Now, tell me something. How can you make a million on a $50 investment?
I know a guy.
Wait.
And for $50, he's willing to let us in on the best racket in New York.
What's that?
We can get the gambling concession in the subway.
What gambling concession?
Those slot machines people keep dropping dimes into.
Frankie, what makes you think it's a good investment?
You've seen thousands of people dropping dimes in their machines, haven't you?
Yeah.
And they never paid off once, did they?
True. But how long are people going to be suckers? Maybe we can fix the machines and let them win once in a while.
No, that would be dishonest. Let's leave them the way they are.
For those who have tuned in late, you are listening to It Pays to Be Ignorant. I've heard enough, fellas. Let's get in the elevator and go up to the studio. The band's waiting for me to rehearse my song.
What are you singing, Alice?
Oh, just get in the elevator and listen. Who cares if the sky cares to fall in the sea? Who cares what banks fail in Yonkers? Long as you've got a kiss that counters, why should I care? Life is one long jubilee. So long as I care for you and you care for me. I love you and you love me, and that's how it will always be, and nothing else can ever mean a thing.
Who cares if the public chatters? That's the only thing that matters.
Who cares if the sky cares to fall in the sea? Who cares what banks fail in Yonkers? Long as you have a kiss that conquers, why should I care? Life is one long jubilee. As long as I care for you and you care for me.
Nice band they had in the elevator.
Bill, why did we get off on the sixth floor? Studio's on the seventh, isn't it?
Please, honey, I'm still working on the elevator band. And don't tell me where the studio is. I know my way around this place.
But, Philip, there are so many studios. It's awfully confusing.
Only to your little twisted mind and cracked voice. You've been playing Remley's part here in New York, haven't you? You better get some sleep, too, kid. Get off of 10th Avenue. I know NBC like a book. Now, this is Studio 6A.
Phil, I don't think this is the right one.
Alice. Poodles. Our partnership is successful because of three elements: money, beauty, and brains.
I know, dear. When are you going to contribute something?
I have contributed something. You got the money, I got the brains, and as for the beauty, that's an even split. Now, look, fellas, here's the door, so come on, let's get into this studio, huh?
Oh, you're so funny! Oh, you're so clever! Who was that?
They're rehearsing Milton Berle's mother for Tuesday's program.
You know your way around, huh, Curly?
All right, so I made one mistake, Remley, but it must be this studio across the hall.
But, Phil, the sign says on the air.
Pay no attention. Now open the door and let's get in there.
I'm leaving you, Mary.
But you can't leave me, John.
I'm sorry, Mary.
But I love you, John.
It's no use, Mary.
Please, John.
Goodbye, Mary.
Goodbye, John.
Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode in the lives of Max and Gertrude.
John and Mary must be their nicknames.
Please try the seventh floor.
No, I'm not going to try the seventh floor because I'm sure it's on this floor. Now, it must be this studio right next door. Open the door. Let's get in there.
And now, Mrs. B, don't be nervous. Step a little closer to the microphone and tell me your problem.
Well, Mr. Anthony, in 1930, we were having a big party and our guests were very hungry. So I sent my husband to the grocery to get a loaf of rye bread. That was 20 years ago, and he hasn't come back yet. Now, my problem is this. Should I wait any longer, or is it all right to serve pumpernickel?
Oh, this kid really has a problem.
Convinced that this is the wrong floor.
No, I'm not, because there's one more studio down at the end of the hall.
Well, you try it. I'm going up to the seventh.
Okay, honey. You and Willie go on up there. Guarantee it's here. Frankie and me'll try this one.
I hope you got the right one now, Carl.
Well, we're going to soon find out. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go in through the stage entrance, and then we'll see you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Grapper House. That was very good. And now for our last contestant on Sing It Best. And remember, the contestant who sings it best, in the opinion of our studio audience here, will win our gigantic jackpot. Now, I see two gentlemen waiting backstage right now. Come right out here, gentlemen. That's right. Come on down. Oh, don't be bashful. We haven't much time.
Well, we just dropped in to see if
Now, don't be nervous, sir. Just step right up to the microphone. That's it. And face the audience. There.
Audience?
Hey, Curly, they got a show going on here.
Well, then we better get lost, Remley. Get out of
now,
here.
Now, just a moment, gentlemen. Don't get panicky. You're just having a little stage fright.
Look, mister, I just want
to... Oh, it's a shame the ladies in our radio audience can't see this gentleman. He's a handsome, broad-shouldered, curly-headed rat.
Please, mister, I didn't... Yeah, it is kind of a shame, ain't it?
I wish you could see his curly hair, bronze complexion, and patriotic eyes.
What do you mean, patriotic eyes?
Blue with red whites.
Blue with red fox. Big joke, you see. This boy's been drinking stale air wick.
With soda, it ain't bad.
All right.
Now, sir, tell me, what's your name and where do you live?
Look, I'm Phil Harris. I'm staying at the New Yorker Hotel.
Oh, the New Yorker, eh? Cloak and suit business, I suppose. Showing your new spring line?
Look, I'm not a cloak and suiter. I happen to be
Well, where are you from?
Well,
Oh, Iowa, huh? You must be in farm implements.
Well, that don't take the tread off my tractor. Hit the nail right on the head, didn't he, son?
He sure did.
Now, watch your draw, boy. We're from Iowa, not from the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Is this your son?
Yes, this is my boy, Rob. Of course, I got two boys. I got Clyde and Rob. But Clyde couldn't make it. He's my oldest boy, you know. I had to stay home. Got a motorcycle agency in Des Moines.
Yeah, that's very interesting, but I just...
He carries a Harley-Davidson line.
Yeah, I see, but,
yes, Clyde used to be a mechanic. He worked at Claude Creel's garage. Now, Claude's place is on the corner of 8th and Locust. You know, as you come into town, you turn left, and there you'll find a statue of F.W. Fitch. I call him a general. Wasn't a real general. He just used to be my sponsor, and I promised if I ever got on the radio, I'd throw his name in now. After old F.W. was a right fine fellow, wasn't he, son?
He sure was, boy.
Rob is my stupid boy.
I sure am, boy.
He ain't very smart, but what the heck, I always say it's better than raising pigs.
Oink, oink.
Quiet, boy, quiet. Now, as I was saying, mister...
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but we don't have time. You're our last contestant. If you're going to sing, I wish you'd get on.
Now, wait a minute, son. You can't rush a man from Des Moines now. Did you say sing? Well, I'll be glad to. Yeah. And, mister, you don't know what your audience is in for.
They sure don't, boy.
Come with me to Alabama. Let's go see my dear old mammy. She's frying eggs and prawning hammy. That's what I like about the South. Now there you can make no mistake. Where those nerves, I'm never shaky. I'll just taste that layer cakey. That's what I like about the South. She's got baked ribs and candied yams, those sugar-cured Virginia hams, basement full of those berry jams, and that's what I like about the South. Hot cornbread and black-eyed peas, you can eat as much as you please, cause it's never out of season. That's what I like about the South. Eh, don't pick one. Have two, they're dark brown and chocolate too. Suit me, they must suit you, cause that's what I like about the South. Way, way down the cane grows tall, down where they say you all walk them in with that southern drawl, cause that's what I like about the South. It's down where they have those pretty queens, keep a dreaming those dreamy dreams, let's sip that absolute New Orleans. That's what I like about the South. Come old Bob with all the news, got the box back coat and the button shoes, but he's all caught up with his union dues, and that's what I like about the South. Here come old Roy down the street, oh, can't you hear those scuffling feet? He would rather sleep than eat, and that's what I like about the South. Every time I pass your door, you act like you don't want me no more. Why don't you shake that head and sigh, and I'll go walking right on by. Gone on and on and on. Honey, when you tell me that you love me, then how come you close your eyes? Did I tell you about the place called Dua Diddy? It ain't no town, it ain't no city, it's just awful small, but oh, so pretty will do. What? I didn't come here to criticize. I'm not here to sympathize. But don't tell me those no good lies, cause a lying gal I do despise. You love me like I love you, send me 50. PDQ, roses are red and violets are pink. I'm gonna get old 50, I don't think. Got backbones of butter beans, ham hocks and turnip greens, you and me and New Orleans, and that's what I like about the South.
Curly, stop taking bows.
That was very good, Mr. Harris.
Now, come on, Curly. We're over an hour late for the band rehearsal. You know what happens when you keep musicians waiting. They report it to Petrillo, and you know the penalty.
Yeah. 20 lashes or 2 weeks with Guy Lombardo.
They tie you to a chair and make you listen to Carmen sing.
No, not Coquette. No, let's get out of here, Remy. Come on. Hey, thanks for letting me sing, mister. We'll see you later.
Just a moment, sir. Come back here with... Well, fortunately, we know his name and address. Well, ladies and gentlemen, according to our applause meter, Mr. Harris is the winner of our jackpot. And tomorrow morning, $25,000 in merchandise will be delivered right to his room at the Hotel New Yorker, including a refrigerator, a stove, a washing machine...
Phil, you and Frankie were over 2 hours late for rehearsal yesterday. Are you sure you just went into a studio?
I keep telling you that's all that happened. We got into the wrong studio, the people recognized me, and they begged me to sing. Should have heard the hand I got, honey.
They liked you, huh?
I showed it, Mom.
Daddy, when are we going down for breakfast?
It's 9:30 already, and I'm hungry.
Now, children, please be quiet.
Let them talk. We paid their fare all the way to New York, and it's about time they said something. Look, kids, we're not going down for breakfast. We're having it served in the room.
Phyllis, did you hear that? We're going to have breakfast in bed.
Naturally, darling. The continental cut, you know. It's considered frightfully she.
Thank you, Noel Kawa. Just because we're having breakfast in bed don't mean that we're... Uh-oh, that must be the room service. I'll get it. Now for a nice hot breakfast.
Are you Mr. Harris?
That's right. Have you got our stuff?
Yeah, why do you want us to put this refrigerator?
Refrigerator? Well, you don't have to bring that. All I wanted was a little orange juice and some eggs.
With the refrigerator, you get a 6-month supply of Nesbitt orange juice and 3 crates of grade A eggs.
Well, I just wanted a couple of cooked eggs.
Hey, Bernie, bring in a stone.
What have I got to cook, my own eggs?
Get out of the way, Bud. I got to bring this dishwashing machine in.
Oh, wow. Stop banging into me with that stuff.
Now, just a minute, mister. What is all this?
I got no time to talk. Get out of bed, Blondie, so we'll have some place to put the paint can.
Wait a minute now. What paint can?
You want a free paint job, too.
What do you mean I want to?
Ow.
Ooh, what hit me there?
A baby grand piano. Where do you want it?
I don't want no piano. I don't even know how to play the piano.
Ah, but you will learn, monsieur. I am your piano teacher, huh? You have me free for a year. Now, this is the scale. It goes...
Wait a minute. Will you wait a minute? I know the scale.
Hey! What color do you want your walls painted?
How about black and blue to match my bruises?
You got it! Joe, start on the black and I'll paint the blue!
Now, wait a minute. Fellas, will you wait a minute? Now, stop that. The room's getting too crowded. Alice, tell him to stop and wait. Alice, where are you?
Right here. Bernie shut me in the oven.
Oh.
Hey, where do you want these 2 crates?
Wait a minute. Now, what's in those?
A Bendix washing machine and a 2-year supply of dirty laundry.
Alice, get out of the oven. You got work to do. Now, look, Frenchie, enough is enough with that piano. I don't want another thing brought in this room, do you hear? Not another thing.
Hi, Mr. Harris. I brought the groceries.
What groceries?
A 4-year supply of dog food. Open your mouth and start eating.
Dog food?
Not only that, but here's a sheepdog to go with it.
Wait. Now, look,
Look, I don't want it. It's so crowded in here now we can't even budge.
Hey, Curly, this must be yours. I found it wandering around the hall with your name on it.
Now, what the heck is that?
A Brahma bull.
Just what I needed, a sacred cow.
Here's something else I found in the hall for you. Where will I put it?
Careful with that kid. It's breakable. You've got it.
Now, what was in that?
800 goldfish.
Oh,
hey, come on, Julius. There's something in the hall I want you to help me bring in.
Don't bring nothing else in here. This place is a madhouse
What's
now.
What's going on here? What's going on? What are you doing to my hotel?
Oh, Phil, it's the hotel manager. Oh.
Who is responsible for this outrage?
Hello, Mr. Andrews. Can we cook you some breakfast? Or wash out your undies? How about a piano lesson? Or how about a nice Brahma steak? Oh, I'm only kidding, Elsie. Shut up.
You've ruined my hotel. Just look at the mess you've made here. Washing machines, pianos, stoves, kettles.
I'm sorry, Mr. Andrews.
What for?
We got to bring in the airplane.
Airplane?
Contact, Mr. Emily.
Contact.
Switch on.
Westbound.
Wait a minute.
No, this is the last stop. I'm going to call the police and have you all thrown in jail. And take this stuff with you.
Now, wait a minute. This ain't our fault. You can't have us thrown in jail. Okay. I know my rights, and I'd like to see you try. Stop that.
Hey, Curly, when Andrews took you to court, you certainly told off that judge.
You said it. I can be pushed just so far, no further.
Daddy, I'm hungry. When can we have breakfast?
Talk to your mother. She has the eggs and the stove in her cell.
And Phil will be back in just a moment. But first, here's your Rexall family druggist.
Last week, a customer said to me,
"Something I really like about Rexall Milk of Magnesia is that one bottle won't be so thick I can't even pour it, and the next one thin and watery. Somehow, Rexall Milk of Magnesia always seems to be just right."
Well, ma'am, you're talking about the viscosity of Rexall Milk of Magnesia. And the reason it's always the same is because every bottle has to meet Rexall's exacting standard of viscosity, or it won't wear the Rexall label.
Well, how can they make sure of something like that?
Well, a sample from each batch of Rexall Milk of Magnesia is placed in a metal jar or urn. Then a small metal disc attached to a fine precision gauge is submerged just below the surface of the liquid. Now then, the jar is slowly revolved at a constant, carefully regulated speed, and the movement of the liquid pushing the disc around records the exact degree of viscosity or thickness of the sample.
And I thought it was all just an accident.
No, indeed, ma'am. The exacting standard of viscosity for Rexall Milk of Magnesia is one reason why you'll always get a uniform dosage from every bottle. And it's one more reason why we family druggists tell you you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Thanks to my brother Willie, we were bailed out of jail. I was never so embarrassed in my life. Where are Frankie and Julius?
Back in jail?
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, they went back to the hotel to get their luggage, and they got playful. They took two elevators and raced each other to see who could get up to the 50th floor first.
What's so terrible about that?
The hotel only has 43 floors.
This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Ann Thomas, Gladys Thornton, Ben Grauer, John Gibson, Walter Kinsella, Jack Albertson, and Morris Gosfield. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. Alice Faye appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. Everybody's praising it. Antihistamine, the marvelous new miracle drug for colds. And now you can get Rexall Antihistamine. Compounded in Rexall's own world-famous laboratories, Rexall Antihistamine can stop cold symptoms in one day when taken at the very first sign of a cold. Keep Rexall Antihistamine on hand always. Ask for it wherever you see the orange and blue Rexall sign on the window. And remember, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Ezio Pinzer. I am on Theater Guild on the air tonight on NBC.